Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love when this text comes up. I love that this text comes up because even to this day, there are those who point to the happenings in the world and predict the end of the world, or at the very least, God's judgment. So when this storm in the Philippines happened, this terrible, terrible typhoon, I was curious about what people might be saying about it. And I was not surprised when I went on and started to do my research that there are those who say that the typhoon in the Philippines is God's wrath against the Filipino people. You don't look at all surprised. Amen. Somebody wheel him out. Grace and love to you and peace to you as well. But yeah, I mean, this is one of those reactions that the Christian community sometimes has, is that every time there's a natural disaster, they see in that the wrath of God. And I'm not sure why that is, except that it makes them feel good. And it turns out that God must have a very special dislike of the Filipino people. Because according to these three different websites that I came to, God was punishing them for everything from passing reproductive rights laws in 2009 to shooting off fireworks, which is apparently a tradition at Christmas time. I'm not sure why God cares about the fireworks, but apparently God does. That's such a common thing, even back to the time of Jesus, that when things like wars happened and terrible things happened, looking for a reason why it might have happened and pinning that on God seems to have existed even then. In our text for today, the people are looking at this incredible temple that has been rebuilt, and they're so impressed with it. Now, this is the rebuilding of the temple under Herod, who spent tons and tons of money getting everything all fixed up and beautiful and jewels and all of those kind of wonderful things to make the temple absolutely gorgeous. And it's hard for us to imagine the scale of it. In one of the pieces that I read today, they said that the courtyard could hold 400,000 people. Can you imagine? 400,000 people showing up for church? Either can I. Right? It's a phenomenal thing. Now, imagine for a moment that for some reason unknown to me, we decided as a congregation to rebuild this temple. And what if we put in polished marble floors? And of course, we're German, right, for the most part. Germans built this church, so they built it out of block, right? Because we're very practical. But imagine, you have to really imagine hard that we had put all of our money and time and effort into making this absolutely unbelievable place with stained glass windows, and we put gold pyramids over the altar, and Miguel got some gold trumpets to go with the choir, and Mark decided to add 7 or 8 ranks of pipes.
That's just the beginning test.
70 or 80 ranks of pipes, okay. And so what if we had done all of that and we got it all done and someone burned it down? Imagine the trauma that people felt, it much deeper than that, when the temple was destroyed. That's what Jesus talks about. All of their hopes and expectations and everything that they had hoped for was all built into this temple and into the greater community, and it gets destroyed. And people are saying, well, the end must be near. And what I love about the 21st chapter of Luke is I wonder whether or not all of these doomsday people like Tim LaHaye and all of the other millennialists who have come, they apparently have never read the 21st chapter of Luke. Because in the 21st chapter of Luke, it says, you will see all of these things, and Jesus' response is, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. All these things are going to happen, but the promise will remain. I think that's the power of the text. In our prayer of the day, it said, God, help us not to let the temporary, not to let the temporary overshadow that which endures, which is God's love. And that's what Jesus says to those who will listen. He says to them, don't worry about it. It's going to happen, and God will remain with you. And I so much don't want you to worry about it, so that even when they try to throw you in prison, don't try to think up ahead what you will say. You ever get pulled over by a police officer? And as the lights are going behind you, you're already trying to figure out what you're going to say. I was going to a church meeting. Yeah. Don't worry about it, he says. I will give you a word and a wisdom that your opponents cannot overcome. A word and a wisdom. That word and that wisdom is the gospel and God's love that was given to all of us in creation and endures even today. As I've watched the video, especially from the Philippines, I keep trying to see there the presence of God in the midst of that death and destruction and hopelessness. God's promise, though, abides even there. Isn't that a striking difference from those who would call out God's judgment? Rather, to see in that destruction and in the eyes of those children and those people God's clear and enduring presence. Made manifest, though, as Paul reminds us. Every time I hear that wonderful text from 2 Thessalonians, I smile a little bit, and I caught a few of you smiling as well. It says, we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. We say that to the church council every now and again. Yeah. Yeah, we're called, when Jesus calls us simply to be who we are in God in response to all the things that are happening in the world, it means that we live out that gospel. What I see is God at work, as always, not only in individuals and in relief efforts, but also in the eyes and arms and prayers of the church and of all of God's people who are reaching out in the midst of disaster. I think that's why we don't worry so much, because God has promised to be with us throughout these ordeals and throughout every moment of our life, but also to call us again and again to live out that gospel for the sake of the world. It's a very different view from God's wrath being visited on the immoral. As a matter of fact, if you want to subscribe, if I subscribed, to the idea that God was going to get us for everything that we did immoral, then the state of Hawaii probably should be cowering following the passing of State Bill 1, because there are those who believe that God will destroy us for making that decision. But Jesus says, don't worry. Continue to be God's people in the world and for the sake of the world. Be assured of my love. Be assured that I am with you always, even though they arrest and persecute you, and they hand you over to the synagogues and prisons. I will be with you, and I will give you a word, and I will give you wisdom. And I think he means the gospel. Well, a lot of times we finish this particular text with, by your, you know, it ends in our pericope, by your endurance you will gain your souls. But this is not about you as an individual. What follows in this text, and I won't read it because it's the same length text all over again, this same principle is applied to the entire community. This is all of the community that experiences both destruction and threat, and God promises to be a part of that whole community. And that promise is lived out through you. Well, there are plenty of disasters that are happening, and there are plenty more to come. The Pacific atolls are sinking. Talk about losing everything. Imagine waking up one morning and finding out your island is gone. It's very depressing. There are those who are saying that, in fact, I actually heard someone describe the Lutheran Church as one of those Pacific atolls. We're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But what will we bring of God's ministry? One of my very close friends, who I've been through a great deal with, posted on Facebook one day, she said, just once, I would like someone not to ask me how many members there are in my church. By the way, as a pastor, that's the first thing I ever always get asked. Well, where are you a pastor? Oh, at Lutheran Church of Honolulu. And I can almost mouth it before they say, well, how many members do you have? So my friend Donna said, just once I would love for someone to ask me, how many prayers have been said this week? How many people have been touched with the gospel? How many people's lives have been transformed through your church this week? And she says, and no one ever asks, even though that's what it means to be the people of God. And so on our little sinking Pacific atoll, I think we too are called not to pay attention so much to the cries and hues of the end of our world, but to live out faithfully and hopefully that word of wisdom in the gospel that God gives us in our daily lives. Amen.